Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
The passage that I've been thinking about in preparation for tonight, and it's lovely to have so many of you here and hearing our hearts lift in praise to a great God. The passage that I've been thinking about comes from Mark chapter 10. Let me read the first part of it, and then in a moment I'll put the words of the next part up that I want us just to think about. It's a good Sunday school story, but it's much more than a Sunday school story. So Mark 10 from verse 32, if you're following on your little iPhones. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished. Why were they astonished? Because Jesus had just said that the first will be last and the last will be first. The disciples were astonished while those who followed were afraid. He'd also spoken about persecution. Again, he took the 12 aside and he told them what was going to happen to him. This is the third time he pronounces that he's on his way to Jerusalem. He says, we're going up to Jerusalem. He said, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. So try and get that picture. It's pretty dramatic. And he's just said that the first will be last and the last will be first. And then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Verse 36, and remember this question. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? Yep, we can. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. Now, when the ten heard it, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Then we come to our passage. When they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. So try and get the picture. It's been pretty dramatic. Jesus already said the first will be last and the last will be first. You thought that would have great impact. James and John, then they want to just get into that position of great glory. Again, he reminds them that he has come not to serve, to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And they continue on, and here's this blind man, Bartimaeus, and he's excluded. He's on the roadside, he's begging. Verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And I guess we kind of hear that expression, Son of David, so often you might just miss the importance. This is a messianic expression. That is, here's this blind man, excluded from society, put down on, and he's heard of Jesus of Nazareth, and he has realized that Jesus of Nazareth is indeed the promised Messiah. He's expecting the Messiah. And he is looking to the Messiah to bring wholeness and to bring healing. And the man is desperate. I think that's the thing that just really struck me in the passage as we come together tonight. He is desperate for the Lord. He is, you might put it this way, he is hungry for Jesus. Well, what did the crowd do? Many rebuked him, told him to shut up. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's not going to let some crowd stop him from encountering Jesus. But the crowd pressure is pretty significant, isn't it? I mean, we know it. Fear of man / woman. It's significant in all of our lives. And as we come tonight lifting our hearts in praise to the Lord, it's good for all of us just to do a heart check and go, how often? Is there any times when fear of man, peer pressure, extended family pressure, work pressure, college pressure, relationship pressure holds us back from being full-on worshippers of the Lord Jesus? Nothing was going to stop Bartimaeus. He says, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he's calling above the crowd. And we read, Jesus stopped. Literally, he stood still. Try and capture the tension. He's blind. You can imagine how through the years he's been ostracized. He's sitting on the side of the road. But he knows that this is the Messiah, and the Messiah can do what the Old Testament prophet said the Messiah was going to do. What was that? Heal blind eyes, set captives free. Isaiah 61. And everything hangs in the balance for Bartimaeus, doesn't he? This is his encounter. And Jesus stops and says, call him. And so they called the blind man. Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. It's nearly kind of comic. Throwing his cloak aside, what does he do? Does he dawdle? Go and collect the mail. He jumps to his feet. He comes to Jesus. Such a beautiful story, isn't it? It's just a great response. Jesus calls and Bartimaeus responds. And Jesus calls me. And the question is, do I? And each of us. Because he calls. And in his grace, he keeps calling. Put your name in it. Jesus calls me. How do I respond? The name of the game is to respond to the King. And here's that question again. It's the one, if you've got your Bible apps open, was the one that he posed to those egotistical disciples. He says to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Isn't that a great question? This is God Almighty who's come in human flesh. And he goes, what do you want me to do for you? He had asked that same question to James and John, and what did they want? They wanted glory. They wanted greatness. What did Bartimaeus want? The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to what? I want to see. I want to see. What a contrast. The disciples who'd been tracking with the Lord, this is right at the end of his ministry. It's the third time he said, I must go up to Jerusalem. They still wanted greatness and glory. But Bartimaeus, he's the excluded one. He's the outcast. He's the broken one. We've just sung about that, haven't we? In the song, Let Us Adore. The blind one. He wants healing and he wants wholeness. I wonder what your answer would be. I really personalise it, individualise it. What would your answer be if Jesus just appeared now and came and sat next to each one of us and just said, as he said twice in this passage, first to James and John, then to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say to him? What would I say to him? What would you say to him? What would be your answer? What would be our answer as a church? Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you, Deep Creek? What would we say? Well, it gets pretty hot in the summer. Got an air conditioning unit floating down from heaven, be okay. Wouldn't mind the profit and loss looking a little healthier on a month basis. Stop me freaking out when I open Ash's email. Would it be we want to see your glory? We want us to touch our lives so that all of us are full-on worshippers for the Lord. What do you want me to do for you? He says to Bartimaeus. What does Bartimaeus say? I want to see. It's more than physical blindness, isn't it? Jesus says, go, your faith has healed you. And the word healed, you probably know, it's this general word. It's a good little Greek word to remember, zozo. It's speaking of salvation. It's speaking of wholeness. It's much more than just physical healing. It's physical and spiritual healing that's wrapped up in it. Your faith has healed you. This is God who's asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Shouldn't surprise us. The gospel writer records, immediately. Immediately. Immediately he received his sight. And what did Bartimaeus do? He follows Jesus. It's gone to the necessary response, isn't it? It's not a transaction. It's a relationship. You're my master. You've brought me salvation. And I'm with you. And I'm journeying with you. Let's stand together. Lord, as we stand together tonight as your people, Holy Spirit, we praise you that you're here. You're here because the Son and the Father sent you. Lord, would you speak into my heart, each of our hearts, all of our hearts, about anything that would be a barrier between us and being full-on worshippers to the Lord. Anything that would be a barrier from fully and totally committing to you. Anything that would be a barrier that would stop us from wholeheartedly, enthusiastically, joyfully following the King. Lord, we've already sung those words. I come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever it is that the Holy Spirit brings to our mind, just come and take it to the cross. It's a passage that continues to sit on my mind. The Lord says, Yahweh says to Moses, you go and tell that scumbag Pharaoh to let my people go. For what purpose? So that they'll come and worship me on the mountain. And friends, that's his call to us. That in every aspect of life, 24/7, we would be sold out. We would be worshippers of the living God.